This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Need to know what's happening. It's time to get in the huddle with Carl Dukes, Brian Baldinger, and Jason LaConforta.
Back for another edition of In the Huddle, Carl Dukes, along with my man Brian Baldinger and Jason LaConforta. We are glad that you're here. It is draft week, guys. In the Huddle pod, subscribe, like us. You can watch us on YouTube. I know we're excited about the draft because it's an exciting time. If your team, all right, is in the top 10, which is what we're going to talk about today, you should be extremely excited because if you get the right guy, it could change your franchise. I know there's a lot of talk about the quarterbacks, and guys, we're going to spend plenty of time with that here. But let's just talk about the Jets for a second. They are at 10. We'll count from 10 to 1 as we get to the Bears, who won that first pick. Baldy, I'm not sure. I've heard rumors about the Jets really liking Brock Bowers, okay? Now, I don't know if Bowers is going to be there, but if this thing plays out like we think, which is going to be quarterbacks, receivers, and then you may have a chance at Bowers, does that fit what the Jets are trying to do? I'm not sure. You tell me what the Jets need and then what you think.
Well, they got a kind of a crowded tight end room. Right now, they like Tyler Conklin. He's the starter. Jeremy Ruckert is a guy that they've always liked coming out of Ohio State. Had plantar fasciitis the first year, but played better with, you know, some poor quarterback play last year. They signed Kenny Ebola. None of those guys are Brock Bowers. So I'm not saying that would preclude them from drafting Brock Bowers. But the history of drafting tight ends in the top 10, Eric Ebron, Vernon Davis, even TJ Hockenson. I mean, we haven't seen great success. You look at what happened in Atlanta a couple years ago.
Kyle Pitts.
But you have to, if you're going to do this, you got to have a real plan. Like, he's got to be, you know, receiver number one on X amount of down and distance, red zone, third downs. You know, he's got to be this. It's going through Brock Bowers. You got to have this. Now, he's a good inline blocker, but he's a flex tight end is what he is. And so when you have these guys, and we know the teams, Mark Andrews, you know, Travis Kelce, we know the teams that accent a true flex tight end and how they do it. The offense runs through them.
Yeah,
it's got to be that level. It's got to be that type of game plan to draft this guy. And so then you say, okay, well, can the Jets do that? Can Aaron Rodgers, does he like that? Can he make that work? And so, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be there, you know, for the next 5 years. So when he's gone and whatever plan they have after that, he's got to still be that guy. Like Travis Kelce wasn't that guy until really, you know, Patrick Mahomes took over. And then he accelerated. And so I feel like that's where the Jets are at if they want to make that type of move. I also hear, Carl, that the Jets aren't opposed to going from 10 up to 5.
Oh.
Who that's for, I don't know. Oh. But I hear there's all kinds of talk about even moving up, even without, you know, a second-round pick.
Jason, let me ask you this, too. We're talking about Aaron being there. We're just guesstimating, guys. Let's just say 3 years. He didn't play last year, and he wants to finish strong or whatever he's going to do. You got to protect him, Jason, right? So is this a draft where if they stay, you're looking at the best offensive lineman for the Jets?
I think there's a lot of people who know that their jobs are on the line, and there's been a lot invested in that team turning around and being better tomorrow than it's been for a whole bunch of yesterdays. So I think they feel like they put some scotch tape on that offensive line in free agency, right? Can we get a year out of Tyron and we'll worry about down the line, like, can he be better at left tackle for, whatever, 17 games than anything we've had the last couple of years outside of, you know, maybe when Mekhi flashed a little bit his rookie year. Like, I think they feel like they've checked that box. They don't want this quarterback to be a problem. They don't want him grumbling about what could have been done. They don't want, you know what I mean? They'd rather have too many mouths to feed than not enough. And I think, you know, look, Aaron Rodgers has made it pretty public, right, in Green Bay that, why don't they ever draft me pass catchers? Why don't we invest high draft capital in guys who at this stage of my career can make me better, can make our offense better?
Are you saying he wants one of these receivers?
I think they're taking Brock Bowers is what I'm saying. Like, I think sometimes you look at all these mock drafts and it turns out to be groupthink going awry, that we all just start drinking the same Kool-Aid and everybody just puts Bowers there. And sometimes everybody has it there because that's just what it's going to be. And, you know, the grapevine has been saying it since December, and it just is. And I think this one just is.
So, Baldy, Jason says it is what it is. It could be probably Brock Bowers. As we wrap up the Jets, and we're in the top 10, guys, we're talking about the top 10 picks. The draft is Thursday. It's in the huddle. Baldy, I mean, again, I just – what Jason just said made me kind of perk up a little bit, and that is Aaron has said those things in Green Bay, and this is a deep receiving class. I don't know. I just think there's options there, right? There's a lot of options for them.
There is. We just did a mock draft with the Jets a couple weeks ago, and, you know, we had everybody from Olufoshinu going there if they just stayed at 10. This was without trades.
Sure.
Okay, trading down, trading up, all the things that Joe Douglas and his staff are – you know, going through all the possible scenarios. But we had him going everything from Olufoshinu going to Jason's point. Like, look, what if Tyron Smith can't make it? Like, what if he, you know, what if something goes the way it has in Dallas over quite a few of the past years? All right, you got Olu. We've had him going, what if, you know, Roma Dunze is there? Like, who wouldn't want Roma Dunze in their offense right now? We've had him taking Brock Bowers. We've had him even going as far as get the best corner. And let's just put, like, this Star Wars system, not allowing anything over our head, and we'll get as deep a good pass rushing defensive line as there is, and we'll just get as many great corners as we can on the back end, and good luck scoring touchdowns against us. I mean, we've had every possible scenario play out, and I'm sure the Jets have played it out too. So even to this point right now, pretty much guarantee that the Jets have not made a firm decision on what they're going to do, but they're very fluid, and I think they're ready to dance. Depends on what happens in front of them right now.
Baldy, I agree. I think a lot of these teams in the top 10, you just said the word fluid. I know a lot of our listeners and folks who follow us say, guys, their boards are set to a certain degree because they're not sure how this thing is going to play. And so you've got to be able to pivot. Guys, let's move on to the Bears. They hold the ninth pick. Obviously, they have the first and the ninth. My question to you is, do they stay there? You're getting your quarterback, we assume. You stay at nine. You take the next best player, or who are they targeting? Because I think the question for the Bears is, do they trade that thing and go and add an additional picks?
Jason, you want to take that first?
Well, I'd say this. Rome wasn't built in a day, but Rome will be selected day one, and I don't think Rome gets passed here. You know, Matt Eberflus, defensive-minded head coach, they made some strides. I'd say some significant strides on the defensive side of the ball last year. this franchise, I mean, we all know, right? Sid Luckman and how long it's been since they had a true franchise quarterback. And we know in this league, you know, that young receivers, I mean, young quarterbacks, it's also about how you incubate them. So, yeah, they have DJ Moore, but will DJ Moore be there in a couple of years? Like, I just think they are this is a generational wide receiver draft, and they have the chance to take what was a middling offense that occasionally flashed explosive potential and turn it into something that might be able to win a shootout with the Lions or the Packers, right? Like, look at their division now and those offenses. So I just think you have a chance to get one of the big three wide receivers and get the best quarterback in the draft. I mean, and what's not the greatest pass rush draft in the world, right? I just think it is what it is. And I think Neighbors, and we'll get to them in a second, like, I hear Tennessee likes Neighbors more. I don't think Joe Alt's there for Tennessee to take. So I think if there's one wide receiver left out of the big three and the Bears are sitting here at 9, I think they call that a win.
I can make a good case for that, Jason. I mean, because Keenan Allen's not going to be there for a long time. And if you – every quarterback has got to start building a relationship with his number one guy.
Yeah.
So maybe that's DJ Moore. I mean, he's still young. But if you could get one of these three that everybody knows their name and you can look at any sort of ranking and you can flip them all up in the air and you can make a case for any of them being the best. A lot of who's going to be the best depends on who the quarterback is and the stability of the organization. DJ Moore was drafted, you know, in the first round in Carolina, and you couldn't have a more unstable situation than we've seen from the moment that owner took over. It's been unstable. And so a lot of it is the stability. So if Chicago could ever get some stability up front, coach, general manager, front office, stadium, whatever it is, like it's all in flux. Like, give the quarterback a receiver that he builds a relationship with, you know, long term. And so I think that's something that, but at the same time, like, I have come out and said publicly, I think Laiatu Latu is the best defensive player in this draft. Now, 3 years from now, you know, is it Dallas Turner? Is it Jared Verse? Is it Quinyon Mitchell? I don't know. But right now, this guy's ready to win right now, the way that he plays. It's a great fit. It's a great need. But then it's a question of the philosophy. Keep building around your quarterback. Make him as successful as possible in an organization that has never developed a quarterback. Now, I don't want to throw Caleb in there with Mitch Trubisky and Rex Grossman and, you know, all the guy, Cade McNown. That's not fair. But at the same time, this is not an organization that's had any success outside of Jim McMahon for a couple years ever. So let's help him out as much as possible.
I'm glad you brought up Latu, because as we get to the Falcons, Baldy, I've been saying this, and with us being a few days away from the draft, I can say this because it doesn't guarantee that they're taking him or anybody that we might mention. But they had this kid in and worked him out, and nobody knew. And everybody's talking about Dallas Turner, and everybody believes that Turner's the elite athlete on the edge in this particular draft. And my thing is, and I want to get a Baldy breakdown, and I want you to tell me, Jason, what you think. Because everybody believes the position of need, which is not necessarily wrong for the Falcons at 8, is edge. But it may not be the best player. And that is the issue that they're facing is, do you just roll the dice on a dude because he's a great athlete and you're not sure if he's going to be a great football player for you in Turner, which is what I believe, or do you go corner or another position because you believe that's a better player? Baldy, what have you seen in your breakdowns? Because I think Latu is the best pass rusher. If you're just talking about getting to the quarterback, he's better than Turner, he's better than Verse, he's better than Chop Robinson. That is my evaluation. What is yours?
Well, he's unbelievably productive. And you can look at sack numbers, you can look at tack for losses. Just look at how he wins and what you can do with him. You can, like, honestly, my comp for Latu. Now, look, T.J. Watt wasn't T.J. Watt when he came out of Wisconsin.
Sure.
He became T.J. Watt with effort, you know, with all the skills that he has. To me, Latu is as close to what we have seen from T.J. coming out. Now, TJ didn't have neck issues and he didn't have to shut his career down. But you know, Latu did. They also humbled him. It also said, I better never stop working. And it told him how much he missed the game. Mm. Now, I don't know what the medical looks like, but he just played 2 years at UCLA without any incidents. It could be behind him. Jalen Phillips had a similar situation. It was all behind him. He hasn't had anything like that, being drafted in the first round out of Miami. So I think that Latu, the skill set is you can line him at a three technique. You can line him up outside, put his hand in the dirt. You could drop him into coverage. You could do all these things. But the fact is, his ability just to beat one-on-one blocks or defeat the blocks because of a skill set that he has or before that even happens, the guy just stays unblocked. It's rare. You just don't see guys with this type of movement. And the movement happens in a little bit like Max Crosby because he's Gumby. He can just bend in any position. And he's just slippery. And it's just a unique skill set that he has that's just different than Dallas. It's different than Jared. It's different than Chop. Those guys, he doesn't have the power that some of these guys have, but his win rate is so high because he just never lets you get into his body. You never get your hands on him. He doesn't let you do that, and that's rare. It's rare, and put on any film, and you see it. It shows up all the time.
Jason, do you believe Dallas Turner is somewhat, I don't want to say overrated because these guys haven't played a down in the league. But for me, here's my issue, Jason, and then you can go. Turner, for his athleticism at Alabama and what he showed at the combine, the production didn't equal that.
Yeah.
And that's my concern. Like, this dude's a beast athletically. And I've said that. What do you think about these edge rushers?
I think Latu's the first one off the board, and I think he goes right here. I talked to people over the weekend who believe that he should go first, he will go first, and that all the medical rechecks have come back clear. So if you're letting that hold you back, you might be being overly sort of officious about how significant of a risk it is. And that's not to minimize anything in that neck spine region. But I've talked to enough people who don't have a dog in the fight who've just said, Latu's rising. Like Latu is edge number one. And I think it's for a lot of the reasons that Baldy laid out. And we talked about with the Jets, right? Sometimes mock draft nation, it just is what it is. And sometimes everybody got locked into an idea, you know what I mean? And it just became real easy to write in Dallas Turner at 8 and call it a day. I think it's Latu. And I think Dallas Turner goes a little bit for, like, I've got the Raiders taken Dallas Turner, because there's going to be more offensive linemen, more quarterbacks, and I just think that's going to be a little pick through. And I don't think, you know, he's going to be available outside of the middle, you know, or certainly I don't think he'd maybe get past Chris Ballard at 15, but I think enough people I trust have told me Latu's the guy.
Me too. It is in the huddle. They have options there, by the way. And the crazy thing about the Falcons is, get back to your wide receiver scenario, fellas. You were talking about the Bears at 9 and Rome. Rome had 1,600 yards, 20 receiving touchdowns. He was a beast, right? Rome Odunze. If he's there at 8, I do think the Falcons have, like, oh, crap, what do we do? Do we let this go with Kirk Cousins now as the delivery system? And maybe we just go score 35 on everybody, right? You're thinking that way. I don't know if they're going to do that with Zach Robinson. I know he'd love to have him, but that's going to be an interesting decision. If Rome is there and Latu and all these other guys is the best corner potentially at 8, I think they have a major decision. Let's talk.
Let me just throw one more thing out there with Atlanta.
Yeah.
For whatever it's worth, and maybe it's nothing, had two high-ranking personnel executives both sort of just randomly throw in there when we were talking about Atlanta.
Here, they love Michael Penix.
It's true. It's true, though, Jason.
I'm just saying.
What?
It's true they love Penix.
What? What? They just paid Cousins $100 million, guys.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just putting it out there before the draft, just in case they drop back a few spots and take Michael Penix.
Let me just say this. I believe Michael Penix is going to be a top 15 player taken in this draft, and he's going to go between Atlanta and the Raiders. That's just what I hear.
Yeah.
And that's what I believe. And I think people are finally coming around. They've gotten past the medical and his history at Indiana. Now they're saying you win from the pocket in this league. He's the best pocket quarterback in this draft. He has the best arm in this draft. And now people are sitting down and they're talking to him and they're studying him. They're going, we paid Kirk this money, Carl. But this franchise turned around the day Mike Smith and Matt Ryan got united.
Correct.
And I think Raheem Morris down the road, we don't know. You know, we'll see. Kirk's coming back from, you know, Achilles. Yeah. We think he's going to be fine. But fine for how long? And then what? Because if you don't have that plan in place, you're just going to go back to one of these franchises, just going to keep turning things over. I hear the same thing, Jason.
You guys, right now, I'm telling you, Falcon fans are they're losing their minds when you.
I know they are. I've heard.
They love Michael.
I hold you responsible, both of you. Okay.
No, I've seen the exact same response.
That would be, did we compare notes? Did you know I was going to say that? Because I didn't know you were going to say that.
No,
there's no conspiracy theories here, right, Baldy? There was no pre-production. Before we got off the Falcons, neither one knew what the other was going to say.
No. This is just
the only thing I've heard Baldy say is he's higher on your board than a lot of other people. I think, don't you have him as two on the board for you?
Yeah, I have him number two.
Okay. So I've heard that from you. I've not heard what you just said. I've not heard, Jason, what you just said. I'm just going to leave that there. Take that and just put it aside. Let's see what happens. That's interesting.
You know how powerful the owner is in Atlanta.
Yes.
It all goes through Mr. Blank. I'm out here. Arthur Blank is very interested in that particular player, knowing the future of the franchise. And let's make sure the Mercedes-Benz Dome is a place to be on Sunday afternoon. So
you know what? Anyway. It's valid. That is valid. All right, let's talk about the Titans. They picked seventh. It's in the huddle, guys. Subscribe, like us. We're talking about the top 10 in the draft. Thursday's the draft. We're coming back on Friday, kind of recapping and just taking in the first round. Now, remember, for Baldy, I, and Jason, like we want to see the entirety of the draft. It's easy to say, hey, first round, this team got it right. Let's see what happens, which gets us in the next week, which we'll come back and say, hey, this is how we feel about certain teams. But we're talking about the first round. Titans, O-line, Will Levis. Is this simple for the Titans here, Jason?
Yeah, I think it's Joe Alt, Malik Nabers. I hear Nabers is the wide receiver that they covet. Like, if it's him and Rome on the board, and it probably will be. I'm just, again, just going on what I've heard from some people I trust who are pretty plugged in. I think it's Nabers or Alt. Now, me personally, and we'll get to the Chargers in a minute, I just think Joe Alt screams to me Harbaugh's left tackle for the next however many years he wants to keep coaching. But I don't know about you, Baldy, but I think it's one of those two kids going to the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, look, Skoronski looks like he's going to be their left guard. Like, go get – if Joe Alt is available, get Joe Alt and start putting this offensive line back together when they were winning divisions and the number one ranked team in the AFC and the number one seed a few years ago. Taylor Lewan, you could look at their offensive line, and it was strong. And it collapsed, and everything collapsed. The run game collapsed, coaching changes, general manager changes. A lot of things fell apart. It's time to rebuild this offensive line. And so I believe that's what Rand Carthon is looking at, if he can get his guy. Like, I think Joe Alt, if he's available, makes a lot of sense. You got two number ones playing next to each other right there on the left side. You pick up Tony Pollard. You've got Taj Spears from last year. I think that would help Will Levis the most right now.
Yeah, some of these are fairly easy. I think that's an easy one. I totally agree, guys. Let's talk about the New York Football Giants. I do not believe Daniel Jones is the long-term answer. But with that said, then what do you do here at six? What does Joe Shane do that makes sense for the Giants? Baldy?
I think they've got invested a quarterback. They don't want to be picking this high again. They've invested heavily in defense. They've overpaid for a lot of free agents. The draft picks and the money has gone to the defense. It's time to really look at this quarterback situation. And Daniel Jones is now, you know, the injuries are the injuries. He's never played a full season. This is something you have to really pay attention to. And Joe Shane and Brian Daboll did not pick Daniel Jones. They inherited him. And we know that if you're going to get your quarterback, this is probably the year to do it. You might have to move up to do it. That's still on the table. The owner has come out and said, if you think the quarterback is the right position, you have the green light to go get him. I think they're going to take a quarterback here. I think they might have to move up to get the guy that they want. And I think they're prepared to do that. And who knows if that trade is with New England or whoever it's with. But I believe they're going to go get a quarterback here and just go, look, we lost the face of our franchise. Let's get a new face. Yeah. Let's start building with them. We may take our lumps this year, but let's get our quarterback now. Washington's going to take theirs. Philly has theirs. Dallas has theirs, at least for now. Let's get our quarterback and let's get in this race and let's start building with it.
Jason, who's that quarterback, if you believe that?
Well, I believe it wholeheartedly. I don't think there is a scenario that exists where they can't or don't get a quarterback. Brian Daboll, and look, I've known him a long time. I think highly of him. But he went from one of these guys who was thought of as sort of like a Belichick guy who's going to kick around in Belichick systems and coach tight ends or coach receivers or coach quarterbacks, right? He went from that sort of a guy to future NFL head coach. Why? Because of what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo. Like, they didn't bring in Brian Daboll not to have him work with a potential franchise quarterback. One that he was invested in selecting, not one he inherited, who was already a little bit damaged goods and physically was already getting beat up. So I don't think there's a parallel universe out there where the Giants don't come away with J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Like, I just don't. Like, there's going to be a hell to pay if somehow they don't. And there's no excuse not to, because 4 and 5, as we'll talk about on the other side of the break, are very open to doing business. If you want to move up a little bit, and just make sure you get one of those guys.
Where are the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Patriots, the Commanders, and, of course, the Bears going? We'll talk about it next on In the Huddle. Carl Dukes, along with Jason Lacanfora, my man Brian Baldinger, we're breaking down the top 10 guys. We're going to get into some tampering conversation as well and the over-unders on how many quarterbacks are going to be taken in the first round. But before we do, let's talk about the Chargers. Harbaugh's an interesting dude, isn't he? You guys see this guy living in a van down by the river? I mean, it's unbelievable, right? But we know he knows what the hell he's doing. We know he knows how to build teams. Baldy, at the 5th overall pick Thursday, what do the Chargers do?
I think it's going to be hard to pass on Joe Alt. Like, it's going to be hard. Everything he wants to do is going to start up front and in the trenches. And while the receivers are sexy, like, you tell me what he won with at Michigan, all right? What he recruited at Michigan.
Right.
And I'm not saying, and look what he did in San Francisco with a limited receiving core. Tight ends, yes. You know, running backs for sure. Like, I'm just looking at the blueprint of who Jim Harbaugh is. Like, he recruited Joe Alt at Michigan, all right? Hard. He knew Joe's father, John, like, he thought, and he lost him. He lost him to Notre Dame. And so I think Jim Harbaugh was like, I'm still recruiting this son of a gun. I'm going to get him. Like, I wanted him, you know, 5 years ago. Yeah. I'm going to get him now. And it's just a perfect fit. I believe Joe Alt can play right tackle. Rashawn Slater can play left tackle.
Okay.
And you just build with these bookends. He's a technician. He's smart. He's huge. Like,
6'9".
Just give him big meats and he'll figure the offense out. Let protect his quarterback. He'll find receivers. He's got tight ends he's already brought in. Blake Corum will probably be in the second round coming. Like, you can put this thing together. The receivers are great and they'll help. They don't protect your quarterback. They don't open holes for your running back. Like, I just think offensive line, like, they don't even overthink it. Like, I don't even think there's any sort of play here. Like, that's what he's going to do.
Jason?
Could not agree more. I've been saying Joe Alt the whole time, and people have been looking at me like, well, how could he not take one of these receivers? And I'm like, do you know Jim Harbaugh? Like, have you paid any attention to how he builds his teams? No, and you can go back to when he came to San Francisco. What did he and Pete Carroll, right, left the Pac-10? They left the Pac-10 at the same time, and then they jumped to the head of the class, and all of a sudden they're finding talent in the third, fourth, fifth round. And it was all kids, balling. They didn't know these kids since they were in eighth grade. They don't know just the cafeteria lady in high school. They talked to the cafeteria lady in seventh grade. Like, they got inside. He's got a pass on this guy. Like, now, could he if you throw enough at him? Yeah, but I'm like, no, he wants his bookends. He's building inside out. He's laid it out for you. If you listen, you win with dependent position. You win with independent positions, not dependent positions. I don't think that's coach speak. I think that's his. That's him cutting his heart open, bleeding out his soul. It's his football identity. It's what, like, nah, he lost his kid once to the Golden Domers. I don't think he's losing them twice. It's maybe the best offensive line draft ever. And Jim Harbaugh has a chance to take the best of breed. And you're telling me he wants to knock hands with a wide receiver day one? I just don't know, man. I think this is what it is. And maybe he goes back to six and still gets them. But I think it is what it is.
I know Justin Herbert, when he does have to throw it in the red zone on third downs and all that, he's going to have time to find a receiver. And like all great quarterbacks, and it's still yet to be determined if Justin Herbert is great, but all great quarterbacks make their receivers. It's just the way it's always been. Randy Moss went to Oakland. He didn't do anything. He comes to the Patriots. He's the best receiver in the history of the game. Like, the quarterbacks make the receivers. You give your quarterback time. The way Justin Herbert throws a ball, sees the field, his game is going to get elevated, no matter who he's thrown it to.
Guys, what does Monty Austin Ford think about Kyler Murray? Just listen to me for a second. It's not his guy. He didn't give him this contract. I know Murray has shown flashes of brilliance, but if you're the general manager of the Cardinals with the fourth overall pick and you're looking at these QBs, call me crazy. I know everybody, Jason, everybody's penciled in the wide receiver here. Is Monty Austin Ford like, look, we're not tied to Kyler Murray here. We can do something else. Is that crazy? Baldy?
Well, you're not crazy, Carl. You're not crazy. I mean, that would be the biggest curveball that we've ever seen. Not ever, but it'd be up there. It'd be up there but we have seen, though, with Russell Wilson, we've seen these contracts that look like, you know what, you can't get out of it. And they're like, no, if it's not the right guy, let's get out of it. Let's. So I can see a scenario where Monty wants to build a different style of team, for sure. I mean, they ran the ball very well last year. They beat the Cowboys. They beat the Eagles by running it and pounding it. They went to Pittsburgh and pounded it on Pittsburgh. Like, I have a feeling, like, because your quarterback is mobile, he was the number one pick, I don't think Monty cares about any of that. I do think there's a certain style that he wants to play with, and the quarterback might not fit that style, Carl.
Wide receiver, Jace, what do you think here?
I think it's Harrison. I'd be surprised if it's not Harrison. Now, do I think they should be in this quarterback market? Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I think they should. I don't think they are, but I think they should be. And, like, if Washington did, like, if they grab McCarthy and Jaden Daniels is there at three, like, would I – and I'm the Arizona Cardinals, would I pounce on Jaden Daniels and worry about Murray when I worry about Murray? I would. But I think maybe even Monty, if left of his own devices, would as well. But let's be real about ownership there. The Bidwells are cheap. The Bidwells don't like eating money. The Bidwells don't like burning contracts. The Bidwells don't like looking like idiots, even though they specialize in looking like idiots. They are effing good at it, man. They are amazing at it. Amazingly consistent. This whole Steve Kime thing, and I mean, well, don't even get me started. Like, just, you know, go read about it if you want. The fallout of the Terry McDonough situation. So, like, I don't think it's on the table. Like, I don't think this owner wants to worry about trying to peddle that contract for pennies on the dollars or eat money. They sunk a lot. They want that contract for the quarterback to look like not a disaster. Like, that's the job of this group, is put this kid in a situation where us giving him all that money doesn't make us look like the idiots we are. You're idiots.
I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday with the Patriots. He covers them, and he said, guys, it's completely different. With Elliott Wolf as the general manager and Jerod Mayo, it's completely different. Okay. Yep. So what's that mean for the draft? If it's completely different, Baldy, as we look at the Patriots at number three, what does that mean?
Well, if it's completely different, then do it differently. Like, get your quarterback. Like, never – I mean, I can see Jerod Mayo and Elliott Wolf sitting down saying, we never want to be in this position again. We got lucky 20-something years ago with Tom Brady at 199. That's not going to happen. We can't bank on anything like that happening now or – down the road. We know our roster is incomplete. We realize that. But let's get it started now. Let's get our quarterback now. We can entertain all the offers we want. Let's get our quarterback now, and let's begin the process of doing things differently. And let's be open and honest about what we're trying to do. And get your quarterback. Get your quarterback now and begin the process. It may not happen. You know, sometimes it happens quickly. I don't think this is, you know, a C.J. Stroud turnaround like Houston. But let's start it. At least there's hope when watching what Houston did last year. If you get the right guy and you coach him up right and you put certain things in place, like let's start the process.
Jason, 17 new faces in that building. I mean, you talk about changing, right? I mean, yeah. I don't want to say he didn't want anybody in the building that, you know, was with the old regime, but it kind of seems that way. What are you thinking here?
I think this whole thing is set up to take a quarterback from how quickly they moved on from Mac Jones, right on through. Doesn't mean they have to. And look, I wrote a month ago at the Washington Post that a lot of people thought three was pretty open for business, and they are. But the kind of luxury tax they're going to want you to pay on that trade, like you're coming up to take a quarterback who could start for us immediately, and we're letting you do that. Like, okay, we'll listen. But, like, we're talking you're one this year, plus you better, like Minnesota, have another one this year. Then we want your 2025 one, and we want your 2026 one, and we probably want a player off your roster. Like, do I think they would make a trade like that to move back 3 to 8 spots? I do. I'm just not sure anyone's going to pay the price. Like, I think that's like starting point. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Like, that's a conversation. Doesn't mean we're still going to absolutely do it. So, yeah, I think Elliott Wolf would love to have somebody give him a package of picks that no one could turn down. I'm just not sure that's going to develop. Like, if you're making me throw a dart there right now, I'm throwing J.J. McCarthy. I've just heard that they liked him. They've liked him forever. And he's going to go somewhere. He's one of the top 4 or 5 picks. So is 3 too high? I don't know. But I think the reality is it's going to be hard there for a while. Like, your rookie year is going to be tough. Who's ready to come in there with a bunch of veterans if we're 3 and 8 and hold it together? Is that guy J.J. McCarthy or is that guy Drake May? I don't know too many people who would say it's Drake May. Like, now that's not the end all and be all, and it's a long process, but like I think they kind of know where they are, like what they're digging out of, and the specter of Brady and Belichick over everybody's shoulders. Like, and if this kid's probably going to have to play pretty early, and he's probably going to play pretty early without a great cast. Which one of those two is crumbled by it? Which one of those two can persevere through it with an upward arrow in the year two? I think it's McCarthy.
It's a good observation. The handling of the situation. It's Brian Baldinger, Jason Lock on 4. We have 2 more teams to talk about, and then we're going to get into another conversation. All right. I haven't brought this up with you guys. I thought the Commanders and Adam Peters, what he did last week was idiotic. You may disagree. Why the hell do you bring in all 4 quarterbacks at the same time to talk to them? It's a job interview. These guys want to feel comfortable with you. You want to feel comfortable with them. Instead, it's a competition now. I'm puffing out my chest. I'm trying to be the guy in the room. I just thought it was idiotic of the Commanders to do what they did. And if you're not familiar, they basically brought in 4 quarterbacks who they thought, again, are thinking about potentially taking, and they brought them in on the same day. Guys, around the NFL, Baldy will tell you, Jason will tell you, that is not the norm. That's not what teams do, okay? With that said, what do they do at two? Now that we know that story's out there, you guys can comment. I just thought it was crap. I didn't get where they were trying to go with that whole situation.
It's just awkward because I've never heard of anything like that. It really, I mean, you're trying to get to know, it's hard enough just to try to get to know one guy. To try to do it in mass, like in any scenario, it wouldn't make any sense. If you're going for a job interview, the last thing you want to do is sit at a table with four guys you're competing with the guy that's got to make this. So anyways, that's in the past. Cliff Kingsbury kind of blew off the Raiders to come to Washington, presumably to want to coach the Heisman Trophy winner. Like that's Cliff. You can say whatever you want about Cliff as a head coach. The guy's worked magic with quarterbacks, going back to, you know, Johnny Manziel and, you know, Baker and Patrick and, you know, Caleb last year. Like, and he was drafted by the Patriots. He was in the room with Brady every day. He kind of knows what quarterbacks, the mindset they got to have to be successful, not to mention Kyler and what he did there. I just feel like Jaden Daniels makes a lot of sense here. He's a really good player. He went from Arizona State. He took his game to another level. We're seeing two wide receivers. They're going to be first-round picks out of LSU. He's a big reason why they're going to be first-round picks. He's a difference maker. He just is. Now, he's got a narrow frame, and you got to protect him, and you got to do a lot of things. He can't just run through the NFL like he did against Alabama or Florida last year. But, you know, Cliff is pretty good. He's pretty creative in his offense. I really like the way Cliff coaches offense. I think it's Jaden Daniels. I think it's been Jaden Daniels.
Nothing changed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think J.J. McCarthy's under heavy consideration. I think there's some people in the building who look at Drake May's, you know, size and projectables and say, man, that's something you could dream on. But ultimately, I think it's Jaden Daniels. I think even the signing of Mariota, you know, there's like some people in the industry who are like, look, but you know, they're looking at that as a tip, right? Like, why would they be attracted to Mariota? Is that a sign of, you know, the offense they're going to run? And we remember Mariota's beaten down now, but like we know what Mariota was sort of, right? Mm-hmm. When people dreamed on him coming out of college, what they thought. I think ultimately they will do what sort of is consensus, and Jaden Daniels is the second best quarterback. He's going to go to and the Kingsbury factor and what he wants to run. I think the coaches, Dan Quinn, I think has a lot of, Adam Peters, rookie GM, you're all about consensus. You want to make everybody happy. You're trying to build a family. I think the analytics people in that building, if given the pick, I think it could be JJ McCarthy, but I don't think it's going to go that direction. And as to bringing everybody in like that, I think it was too cute by half. You know, it was overthinking things. It was trying to be different for the sake of being different. I do wonder, there's a lot of people there with NBA backgrounds. And, Carl, you might know this more, but I kind of feel like in the NBA, in those situations, sometimes they will bring in two or three kids and maybe have them work out a little bit against each other. You know, not anything too rigorous, but, hey, we're evaluating three centers for this pick. Like, let's bring them all in and, like, it felt NBA-ish to me. Like, that felt like, you know, hey, we're going to bring what we do over here to the NFL. And some things have translated, the dumping of contracts and the way they're selling off cap money now and things like that. So, I don't know. Maybe it had its roots in that or not. But it didn't. No one who was involved in it thought it was, like, from the agent and player side, like, no one who participated in that, like, thought it was a very good idea. Like, yeah, they thought it was a shit show.
Exactly. And yeah, the NBA model is a good example. And yes, teams do that. I just think, you know, my thing with this, guys, and I said, can you imagine, Baldy, as we said, you know, you walk in, you're Jaden Daniels, you're like, yo, Drake, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? And yeah, it's like, yeah, JJ, what are you doing here? You know, it's like, it's just weird. So yeah. Real quick, Bears have the number one pick, guys. All thinking that they're taking Caleb Williams, raise their hand. Everybody raise their hand. Caleb Williams, done.
Yeah. All right. To his copper, raise a paw.
This is, guys, this is where it starts. After the Bears, where does the draft really start? Maybe two, maybe three. Okay, we'll see. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. How many quarterbacks are taken in the first round? Tampering, is it real or not? We'll get into that. And a quarterback was traded yesterday as we count down to the NFL draft. It's in the huddle. Back in the huddle, guys. We're counting down to the NFL draft. A couple of things we want to finish up with, and we appreciate you being here. Like us, subscribe, In the Huddle Pod on YouTube, and tell your friends. We are back Friday to take a look at what happened in the first round. All right. First things first. Over under 4.5 quarterbacks taken. I think that's the number right now. Guys, it could change. 4.5 quarterbacks taken. Over under. Where are you guys at? Under?
Maybe over. I think at least 5.
In the first round.
It surprised me to see somebody trade back into the first round to get Bo Nix. But I think I hear that Penix is a lock in the first round. And I'm not saying Bo Nix isn't, but I feel like for this, I'll take the over every day on this one right here.
Wow.
One of my favorite props that's available, and I'm shocked it hasn't moved to 5.5. Like every time I've hit refresh on my browser, if I'm looking at making a wager or one of the people who I write for cover wagering for, I'm shocked that no book has moved it to 5.5 yet. I think if you can get 5 of the first 15 or 16 picks to be quarterbacks, if you can find that market, I would wager in that market. I don't think Penix gets past. Well, frankly, I got him going to Minnesota at 11 in the mock I'm going to put out for the Washington Post. But if that doesn't happen, if they move up for Drake May, then I don't think Penix gets past the Raiders at 13. Like that would blow me away if they, whoever they took over him, whichever corner, pass rusher, or O-lineman, that franchise would take over for Michael Penix. That would blow me away.
If Al Davis is whispering his son right now, he's like, go get Daryl Lemonic, go get the Mad Bomber.
Yes.
Like, let's go get him. I mean, that's Raider football right there. Let's get Cliff.
They Raiders. Did it with Jay freaking Schrader, bro. Come on. Like, they won't do it for Michael Penix.
They want to, they want to be
anywhere looking at this. I mean, come on.
Schrader. All right. Over under 4.5 quarterbacks. I agree. I think so too. Over. Tampering, guys. What's the league thinking here? There's a big gray area right now. For those who aren't aware, the league is investigating the Falcons and the tampering into Kirk Cousins before they should have. And then the Eagles are also being investigated. The end result, guys, is probably going to be a draft pick taken away. Not this year, probably next draft. Is this BS? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Look, this free agent tampering, like tampering is, it's not even a word. Like there's a negotiating period. If they hit the, if they hit the green light before the whistle went off, all right. Like, I just think they just micromanage this kind of stuff. And the public doesn't need to hear about this. Like, it just doesn't look good. And it makes it sound like there's all this illegal stuff going on. They got enough issues with fans thinking like all these games are fixed to begin with.
Sure.
They don't need to like pile on with this right now.
I agree completely. However, if you piss the wrong people off in this league, you pay the price. And I think Atlanta pissed some of the wrong people off. If it sounds like I'm talking about the mafia, well, I don't know. Study the way the league office works. I think there's a lot of mafia, frankly, comparisons that could be drawn. They make the rules up as they go along, and the rules apply differently to different people, again, depending on whose poop you step in. So I hear conspiracy theory, maybe, but I've had multiple GMs just sort of opine, putting on their thinking caps. What do we think the league office is going to do? I think the Eagles helped them get some things voted through at this owners meetings back in March, that they did some favors. They called in some favors. They helped the competition committee move some things the way that Rod wanted to move. And so there's a sentiment out there that the Eagles are not going to get slapped as hard as Atlanta. And we're talking about quarterbacks. And I think people are going to go, whoo, when they see what happens to Atlanta. And my guess is this will come out right around the first round of the draft. So it'll be obscured by all the good news and all the excitement about quarterbacks. But there's people out there who think the Falcons pissed off the wrong people. So
Interesting. All right, guys, last thing. I just want to get your thoughts. We already saw a quarterback traded. Zach Wilson goes to the Broncos. Does this take the Broncos out of the quarterback market in this draft?
I don't even understand the move.
Come on.
I don't even
understand. Me neither.
I mean, I don't even understand.
It's sleight of hand, Baldy, right? It's just Sean Payton, like, look over here and don't look at how bad we really need somebody at 12, right?
It's three-card Monty is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
okay. I think they trade back and get Bo Nix. I'm hearing a lot of rumblings about Denver trading back. I can see him trading back with Pittsburgh. I can see him trading back with the Eagles. If they think they could go all the way back to 30 and get Bo Nix there, I can see him trading back with, I don't know if the Ravens want to come up to 12 for somebody, but like, I don't think it changes anything about their quarterback situation. Maybe they can get Bo Nix at the top of round two. I don't know. But no, this does nothing for their quarterback situation.
Baldy's breakdowns, guys. He's been putting stuff out there. Go check it out. Jason, Washington Post, he says he's going to put that final mock out there, right? Is that right? That's coming?
Filing it tonight, Tuesday night.
You got trades in your mock, Jason, or are you going without trades?
I do. No. Okay. No, I got some trades.
Make sure you guys check that out and check us out here in the huddle. We're back. We're going to take a look at what happened in the first round, at least the big stories. Caleb Williams is not a big story. We know that's going to happen, all right? It's the other things that are going to happen in this draft that are going to surprise and shock us. So we're back Friday to talk about it with you guys. Subscribe, tell your friends, guys, and thank you guys for being here. Jason, enjoy the draft. Baldy, you too. We'll see you guys at the end of the week.
Thanks, take care, everybody. Thanks, guys.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.